But now what we're going to also bring on, Michael, I know you've been waiting all day for this.
Yeah.
We're going to chat with multi-talented, and I say multi-talented, Allie Willis.
She is.
Very important. I love to see people that don't just stick in this niche. They will do whatever their creative juices want to go. Grammy, Emmy, and Tommy Award-winning songwriter and artist and all kinds of great stuff. Allie Willis is on our show next. Stay tuned. All right, our next guest in Champagne Sundays is Allie Willis, Grammy, Emmy, Tony, and Webby Award-winning and nominated songwriter, artist, multimedia, I love that, director, collector of the Kitsch Museum, and party thrower, big party, just themed great party thrower. And let's not forget the Museum of Kitsch. You can check her out at AllieWillis.com, and that's A-L-L-I-E, AllieWillis.com. And go to the Museum of Kitsch. AWMOK.com. How are you, Allie?
Well, I'm good, except you spelled my name wrong.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's A-L-L-E-E, two E's. A-L-L-E-E-W-I-L-L-I-S.com. And also, it's not the Museum of Kitsch. It's the Allie Willis Museum of Kitsch.
I'm getting out of wit right now.
You know what happens is it's the champagne, and being blonde once in a while, it just goes right into the bottle.
Oh, well, I guess that's going to do it.
See, there it is. And actually, it's all written that way in front of me, too, A-L-L-E-E. But a pleasure to have you on the show. And I have to tell you, Michael, he kept nagging me. He's like, well, I'm on your show as co-host, but you really got to bring Allie on the line.
Thank you, Michael.
I'm so excited to talk to you, Allie. You have no idea what a big fan I am.
Well, I appreciate it, and you have submitted some excellent Kitsch. I hope I see more of it.
Oh, you will. You will, and thank you so much.
Good.
I've got to bring this up about the Kitsch, you know. I never really got into it except for going into Michael's kitchen. He goes, come here, look at this. And I got all absorbed into Kitsch. I just never grew up. I grew up in Africa, okay? So I don't know if that's why.
Well, but, you know, there are a lot of different definitions of Kitsch. Mine varies slightly from the kind of classic definition of it. You know, my definition of Kitsch is anything that kind of overtook pop culture or is trying to borrow from pop culture, where someone executed like a singular vision in making it. And oftentimes that goes unbelievably awry. And other times, like I always use the example of the Snuggie, because people know what that is.
Yeah.
That is this amazingly cheaply made, God forbid don't put it in your washing machine.
We know about that.
Yeah, you know, thing that you know, someone said, you know, this is going to serve a very, very practical need, and they were completely correct. And, you know, so the guy made something like $14 million the first year, but the thing is executed so poorly, and the infomercials for it are so completely insane. That's the perfect definition of Kitsch. It's
and
like
Allie, I have three of them.
Yeah, I know. I have a couple. You know, my cats have
Congress
one.
Kitsch?
You know, but it's definitely, you know.
Congress Kitsch?
There is something that overtook pop culture, yet is so completely ridiculous. So, and, you know, Kitsch can be a person, it can be a thing, it can be a front lawn. I just love when individuals express themselves.
And if you go to Allie's site, you can see all kinds of examples of Kitsch. So.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I will also include things that don't go wrong, but just overtook pop culture, like amazing 1950s design or, you know, something like that. So it really means popular yet distinctive, you know.
Yeah.
Like all
those
chickens.
I do want to say, can I say one thing, though?
Sure.
As timing would have it, the museum yesterday got hit with a massive spam attack, like massive, thousands
of
them.
Wow.
Yeah, evidently this is happening to things that were built in older versions of WordPress. So you can still go there, you can comment, you can browse, but it probably won't be till Tuesday until you can submit stuff. And I should say about the submissions, I do put everything up because ultimately what I want is a discussion of is it kitsch or not. But there are, you know, devoted people with fantastic collections, and I have the time of my life there.
And Allie has a house that is literally a museum dedicated to kitsch, and you can see pictures. My Facebook friend, Denny McLean, took some wonderful pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see all of that. And
it was built as the party house for MGM in 1937.
That's
and
awesome.
I'm a real serious party thrower, so I carry the tradition on. It just looks like a pink boat, basically.
Yeah, if you do some searches, you can see YouTube videos of some of Allie's parties, and they're awesome.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Allie, I have to ask you this, you know, because you do the music side, you've got all this string of hits, you know, from September, all the way to the Pet Shop Boys stuff, and just so much going on, The Color Purple. But, I mean, when you get down to it, I mean, you're involved in all kinds of creative facets. So is there anything that you actually have limits on when it comes to creativity?
I would say no. I mean, the one thing I should point out is that I absolutely don't know how to do anything that I do. Like, I don't read, write, or play a stitch of music. But, I mean, I write music, but I can't notate it or anything.
Right.
I could never sit down and play a song of mine. I end up with very distinctive sounding stuff because I sit there with a little keyboard and just plunk out note by note and eventually build a whole, record. I just last weekend had an unbelievable time. I got asked to conduct the marching band at my alma mater, the University of Wisconsin.
300-plus musicians.
Yeah, 300-plus musicians, 82,000 people in the stadium, and I had idea how to read music. So it was looking like I was leading, but I was just instantaneously following the front of every single note.
That must have been so exciting.
It was honestly one of my favorite things I've ever done in my life. I'm now obsessed with going back and conducting the marching band at my high school in Detroit.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm actually obsessed with conducting marching bands, playing my songs,
Yeah.
So, same thing with painting. I never knew. I had a whole art career. I had sold paintings for 10 years before someone finally said to me, "You know that you mix colors to get other colors, don't you?" And I just, that was like an epiphany to me. So all my paintings are so bright because they're straight out of the tube.
I love your artwork. In fact, I'm saving up for a piece of it. Everyone's your artwork.
That's what I love to hear.
Allie, when you're creating a song, does it start with a melody then in your head, or do you come up with lyrics first?
It can be anything, and if I'm collaborating, it depends a lot on the collaborator. But it could be anything from a title to a string line, a bass riff, a drum beat, really anything. And I don't write a song before I go into record. I just, turn the computer on, and then I just start to build. And oftentimes we'll write a lot of unrelated parts, but I'm confident because they were done in the same time and space, they'll eventually string together.
Okay, you'll be able to connect them.
Yeah, like I always use as a good example the Pet Shop Boys with Dusty Springfield, "What Have I Done to Deserve This?"
Oh, I love that
song. That has five very, very distinctive parts that most people would not have put in a song together. And in fact, when I wrote that, and I wrote that with Pet Shop Boys, I had gone to England. They didn't even know I was a songwriter. I got hired to do their portrait way back when West End Girls first came out. And, they realized while they were actually posing, we started talking, and they realized I was the one that had written all these Earth, Wind, and Fire things that they loved.
Yeah.
So we wrote that song over the next few days, but it took them quite a few years to actually put it out because they always got confused, which is the chorus, which, it's like as much as they liked the song, it didn't make sense to them, and then it ended up, of course, being one of their biggest songs.
Right, it all came together.
But for me, it was like completely natural. It's so boring to go the other way.
And recently,
you're right
with
on.
Like,
that's no, it's so true. Do people say, no, don't do this, and then you have to kind of put up a fight, or is it like...
Well,
know,
I mean, the main reason that I do as many things as I do is that I couldn't stand being in that position. And, you know, being a songwriter, you're there to serve the artist, who oftentimes has the least to do with the record of anyone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got sick of constantly having to dial down my songs, and every time I go into a new field, and there's a lot of them there, it's mainly because I'm either completely bored or so sick of trying to stay in the box. You know, so especially since The Color Purple, which opened on Broadway in 2005,
mm-hmm.
I've really tried to just combine everything I do and do my own thing. But that's, you know, not the road to riches, because you're constantly, you know, you're financing your own career. And very little of what I do actually brings in money. Like the Kitsch Museum, which is my biggest passion, you know, that is, you know, that's not anything that's generating an income. That's pure, like, passion and love. But
mm-hmm.
I spend, you know, 7 to 8 hours working on it every day. And
yeah.
I've got a big hit right now on YouTube with a group called Pomplamoose. It's called Jungle,
uh-huh, Jungle
Animal.
Animal.
Yeah, if you look
yeah.
for Hallie Willis Jungle Animal, you'll find it. But
it's
that,
wonderful.
Too, there's no real way to make an income, because who pays for videos and who pays for music in this day?
You're right. You're right, and
you know,
whenever you do that independent streak, then you have to fund yourself. Period. I mean, that's as an independent publisher, and you know, everything we do, it's always independent. But we're not up there with the big guys. But we're actually saying exactly what's happening. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah,
it's
I mean,
stuff.
And my, you know, the craziness about my thing is, I am up there with the big guys, but I'm
mm-hmm.
not getting compensated, you know, by
right.
it. And it's, you know, it's one thing if you're self-funded. It's another thing if you're doing it in a business that doesn't exist anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very proud to say that as early as 1992, I was going around to record companies and music publishers and saying, "There, you know, you've got to take the internet seriously.
Right.
You are not
right.
going to have any business." And my partner at the time was Mark Cuban, who owns the Dallas Mavericks now.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would listen to either of us. Everyone, they, you know, film companies, TV networks, they just thought we were completely nuts. So, you know, anything that's happening to all those businesses now, if you had half a brain at the time, was completely predictable. But no one
that.
Ever accused
I
us. I can say that
to this, because I know that damn feeling.
Yeah.
Quite frequent. No, really, it's true that independent. But at the end of the day, it feels good to have done your own thing.
Oh, no! I mean, I wouldn't trade my career with anyone. But people I know, you know, peers of mine who have accomplished a lot less, have succeeded financially a lot more. But you know, they're so bored with their careers. Who would want that? You know.
Yeah, it's all about having fun in life. It really is.
Absolutely.
Were you always
you know,
outgoing?
You either sell out to the money or you do what you want.
Yeah, there is a way of having both. I think you hit a, you know, at some point you hit something, I guess, that is popular enough with your face being attached to it as opposed to someone
mm-hmm.
else's. And then I think you cross over the line and then the rules change. But being the person... who for most of her career has facilitated other people's careers with songs or scripts or sets or whatever, that, you know, it's, you know, it can be very frustrating. But,
mm-hmm.
again, I've had the time of my life, so, and isn't that what it's all about?
It is. It is.
You know.
So when you were growing up, were you this outgoing?
I don't.
Were you a big dreamer?
Well, I always remember having a lot of friends, that friends were always very important to me.
Uh-huh.
But one of the great things about having work that does get popular is that when you bump into people from your past, they tell you their memories of you.
Uh-huh.
And everyone constantly tells me, I was writing songs and I was painting and I was doing all this stuff, and I have no memory of it, at least at the age that they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I think I was popular, but there's no question I was not in the A tier. I was in a, like, maybe B-minus kind of clique, you know.
Yeah, doing your own thing.
Yeah, and then that, you know, that is the good thing about hit records. That kind of, you know, bumps you up a notch or so.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, my thing is I have always been attracted to people at both ends of the spectrum. I'm very intrigued with people who function at the highest levels because that's where the brilliant thought and the technology and all of that exists. But I am ultra obsessed with people all the way down at the other end. You know, the singers who continue to sing though they are completely out of tune. You know, the inventors who make the most ridiculous inventions because they believe in it. That's where the heart and passion and soul is. So I like to take the two ends, the high and the low, and just smack them together with no regard for the middle, which is completely uninteresting to me. You know,
it
broadens the spectrum of the friends. You know what I mean? You're not just getting friends who are songwriters or who live in your neighborhood or, you know, whatever it is. And then when you throw parties, which I do a lot of, it makes for an incredibly interesting mix at the parties because it's people who do lots of different things from all end of the, you know, financial spectrum, but they're all there because they're passionate about something. And I will think nothing of splitting couples up. I mean, if I think you're with someone dreary, they are not getting into the party. You know, or someone.
Okay.
No, I love it. I love
it. For you.
Nancy, when Nancy left, when she went to Kenya, and I was a little baby, she goes off to the other side of the world. Everybody thought she was nuts. Her last party, she invited all the people that hated each other to the party.
Well, I had so many different kinds of friends.
Well, that's
and I would like, oh, go here. Yeah, it was great fun because it was like, okay, I loved them all. But we were on, and then I was just like, you know, I don't have time to have 20 different parties, so I'm putting you together, and I'm just going to sit and drink and watch. It was great fun.
Yeah. The one mistake, the only mistake that people make, well, not the only, but in that approach, you just have to be careful. Don't invite people to parties that who you owe invitations to. Because then you can end up with a whole lot of people who don't have anything in common just because you went to their house for dinner.
Right.
You know, I think you do have to think about if everyone is completely interesting to you, then you're going to have a great mix of people.
Right,
because you're the common thread, and you're judging all of them the same, though they may be from all different places. But if you throw into the mix, oh God, I've had dinner at Paul's house four times. I better invite him. Paul's going to drag the party down.
Yeah,
you know.
So you do need to think about the mix.
Absolutely. Yeah. So.
Oh wow, good point.
Yeah.
Real pleasure having you on the show. You've got to give out your website because I don't trust myself now.
Okay. Well, my main website, the Allie website, is just alliewillis.com, alleewillis.com. And then the Allie Willis Museum of Kitsch is awmok.com. And, you know, those are the two. And, again, the Allie Willis Museum of Kitsch is undergoing a little maintenance. But you can still go. You can see everything. You can talk to people. But it probably not until Tuesday can you submit stuff. And I hope people submit stuff. It makes me so happy. I can't stand it. And
I'm going to submit some things
more
and see if it is.
What
I
is
just
that?
Want to see if I actually get it. Kitsch, I'm going to send you something just to see. I'll pass it through Michael first.
I would love to see it because I'm always interested in what is your idea of what, you know, Kitsch is.
Kitsch is, yeah.
International,
you know.
Kitsch.
We're going to send here Sabu.
Yeah, I've got some weird stuff, and I'm going to, Michael, when you come here on the 21st of the Halloween play, then I'm going to show you, and then we'll post it. And I want to mention that you're also on Facebook and Twitter under Allie Willis, right?
Yes, Allie Willis, and I have two Facebook pages. Well, I can't, the Allie Willis one, Facebook has this incredibly dumb rule, so supposed to be a social network, of cutting you off after a certain number of friends. But if they go to the Allie, Yeah, if you go to Allie Willis Museum of Kitsch, and Kitsch is K-I-T-S-C-H.
Mm-hmm.
If you do Allie Willis Museum of Kitsch and then you hit like on that page, that's where I'm more active anyway.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, everybody. We have to go. Thank everybody for
thank
joining
you,
us.
Thank you, Allie.
Thank you, thank you. Michael, put more stuff up.
I will, honey.
Yes.
Allie,
okay.
You're going to have to come back. Okay?
I know. You're going to
okay.
come back.
You're going to have to come back, Allie.
No problem. Tell me when
cool.
and put champagne
awesome.
Over to me.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And Allie, we're off the air now, but Allie, you got to come on Rants, Raves, and Rock and Roll Show.
I would
yeah.
love to. I would
yeah,
love to.
Excellent.
And I want to talk to you also on the internet stuff on musicians' rights and stuff. I think that would rock on for
oh,
Rants,
I've
Raves,
even
Rock
addressed I've even addressed Congress on that one.
I
cool.
know. So we got to do that. We got to
yeah.
do that. But
well, let
thank
me know.
You for
I'm up for it. I'm definitely up.
Right on.
Cool.
We will. We will. We're going to be doing a lot next year. Our magazine is going into 10 magazines next year, so we're going
great.
To have a lot of stuff.
Great.
Anyway, Allie, it was such a pleasure, really.
Yeah, and I hope
I'm
get to
so
meet
excited.
You one day.
All right. I think you probably will. I'll get out to California one of
okay.
these days.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
All right, thank you,
thank
guys.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Isn't she wonderful?